Welcome back to the Catholic Buzz, episode 9. Thank you so much for all your emails and your comments we received over the last couple of weeks. We have a lot of exciting news to share today and things to talk about, so I'm glad you are joining us today. Also, just a reminder that the Catholic Buzz, available here on YouTube, on the parish website for Holy Name of Jesus, St. Alphonsus Liguori, on Facebook, and also now we're available on iTunes if you want to download us on iTunes for the audio-only version, so you don't have to see my face anymore. I'm Father Daniele, and joining me, as always, is Josh Sullivan. Josh, how you been?
Good, I'm good.
Yeah, good week?
So far, so good, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And, of course, our king of dad jokes, Matt Van Milligan.
Hello.
Welcome to you, Matt. How have you been?
Doing well, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything exciting?
No, not too much. We have some news to go over in the podcast.
But, we'll have a lot of news.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be talking about today. You want to just jump right into it?
I think so. It's kind of exciting.
It's exciting news. The Ontario government announced that churches can now reopen at 30% capacity. Mm-hmm. They gave a date of just a few days ago, June 12th was a Friday. But they also gave a list of restrictions for churches to comply with. Mm-hmm. So that's why most dioceses across Ontario have not opened yet, but will be opening this week and this weekend.
I think that's fair, because if you think about it too, a lot of stores, I mean, I was just reading an article of the North Bay Nugget, and they were talking about at that time when they announced, they said, we will be open on the day that we're allowed, which is the Friday, I think it was. So we're open on Friday. However, most of our stores inside, we don't know if they will or won't be, because they have to get the equipment and everything else in place to be. So like, even the stores were kind of shocked by this, and like everyone's kind of just scrambling to try to get to the point that they're at.
It's true. Like, even though I know for a fact that the government of Ontario reached out to churches, priests, pastors, dioceses, bishops, and really did a good job of working together with the Assembly of Catholic Bishops of Ontario to reopen churches, but their announcement that churches were allowed to reopen came as a surprise even to the Ontario bishops and dioceses across, because it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? And so that came as a surprise, which left people kind of scrambling.
Yeah. Part of that may be strategic as well, that if you give protocols for opening, and there's a bit of a lag in the amount of time that it takes people to actually put those in place, then you don't have everything opening at the same minute, and people can,
that's right,
can kind of, you know, have a phased,
Very true. And so I want to talk about what it's going to look like when we return to churches. Mm-hmm. But first, I want to talk about a few things, you know, with that being said, that it kind of came as a surprise. Because I know there are people who are saying, like, you know, the churches have been closed for 3 months.
Yeah.
How come they couldn't get their act together
right. And
open right away? Right?
Yeah.
There are people who are saying that.
Oh, for sure.
So I think it's important to remind people that to open our churches, to open anyone that's reopening right now after the COVID-19 isolation, is trying to do it safely and trying to do it correctly, because it's still a risk to be out in public. Right now, we're still in a time of pandemic. Like, the pandemic has not been lifted.
And the people that come to Mass on a regular basis, if you were going to look at, you know, the age groups, unfortunately, most people are probably going to fit into that very riskier category of anywhere from 50, 60, 70 and above.
Right.
You're going to have some young families, of course, but most of the people are in that riskier category that might need hospitalized, or like 20% need hospitalization or whatever else. And so you want to make sure that you're doing everything possible to keep these people safe, as well as keep the whole community safe. On the flip side, you want to make sure you're doing everything right, because the government then doesn't have a reason to close you down more, if that makes sense, right?
Like, for sure.
We've got to make sure we're listening to the regulations, because otherwise the government just says, oh, you know what? Listen, Catholic churches specifically weren't listening to the regulations, so they're not going to open until past stage 3, when all the sports arenas can open. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think we have a responsibility to keep our parishioners safe.
Of course.
You know, like, that's, as a pastor, for me, I take that very seriously. Like, people who are coming, I would hate and be so embarrassed, mortified, and hurt if someone got sick in our building. Like, that would be awful, right? And so we have to do everything we can to keep people safe when they're coming into our building.
So when now we're talking about this, what are some of the things that we need to do to keep people safe that are going to take a little bit of time to organize? Like what would be some of the holdups? Let's not talk about liturgical. Let's not talk about, but let's talk about the actual.
So some of the things that churches are need this extra time for, I think that's really great. Like number one that comes to mind is they had to stock up on supplies, hand sanitizer, gloves, cleaning supplies, masks. Some of that stuff has not been available for a long time.
No, and like, and masks are so, like, they have to be worn at mass, right? Isn't that, like, from our diocese perspective?
That's right.
They said they have, if you're coming to church, you have to wear a mask.
You have to wear a mask. Now, the churches aren't going to provide you a mask, so they want you to bring your own face mask, face covering or mask, but the church is still responsible to have some for its volunteers, which is another big reason why we couldn't open right away. We have to train our volunteers safely to be able to welcome people back to church, make sure people are keeping their distance, make sure the capacity numbers are respected that are given to us by the government, and cleaning of the church. Like after every single mass, the entire church, pews, walls, kneelers, you name it, anything that could have been touched has to be sanitized. You need a team of volunteers to do that. And so that takes time to put together and train and offer that.
Yeah, even like we talked about, like children crawling underneath the pew. Like you'd have to then sanitize all underneath the pew and all around. You have to sanitize the floors, the statues. If people go up and touch the statues or the candles or like all that stuff needs to be in a plan that someone is going to do it.
And that's why we weren't able to open right away.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt, I kind of went off on a little thing, right? Do you see that? Like, because there are people who are questioning why the government made the announcement and we didn't just rush, we didn't throw the doors open right away.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the call to open the doors right away comes from a certain degree of justified impatience. It's been 2 months. Yeah. People are hungry for the sacraments. People want to attend Mass, and that in and of itself is a good thing, and that's laudable. We should encourage that. But if that's pushed kind of beyond the point of, you know, legitimate desire to actually being upset about, you know, it not happening soon enough, it not happening in the way that people kind of expect or want, or some of the protocols are placing, you know, restrictions on people's expectations for Mass. It can be a bit difficult to navigate.
True. Okay. So now the big question is, what is it going to look like?
Yeah.
And I think it's good to prepare people for that. Because people have been waiting 3 months to come back, there's this natural desire and yearning to be back at Mass. We don't want everyone to be disappointed, right, with their experience of Mass. So it is going to look a little different, just like it looks different when you go to the grocery store right now. It looks different at the bank. It looks different at the farmer's market. It's going to look different in your church, wherever you are. And I think people have to be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. And also to keep in mind that the church is doing its best right now to accommodate all the restrictions imposed on us by the government and all the requests made by the diocese as well. So when people return to their church, wherever you are, if it's in our diocese, if you're listening from other places, I think it's a good thing right off the bat to be patient.
Yeah, for sure.
And just come with an open heart.
Realize that the church is opening in its own stage one, if it will. Right? We're down to 30% capacity. So that's one big thing. But then there's all the, like in smaller churches that could fit, let's say, 300 people, that's 100 people that can come to Mass. And that's including the priest and the volunteers, any readers, any lector, like all those people, that's included in that. And so that can be, like, it's a much smaller number, as well as the distance, like keeping the 6 feet apart. I mean, that was one of the big ones that we worked on in the church, was trying to figure out, okay, how do you keep families 6 feet apart from each other? So sometimes that involves blocking off pews, but then if one person sat in the pew, does it block off the whole pew, or can people sit on either side?
Like, and yeah.
And does that mean you have to sign up for this pew because you have this many people? Like all the logistics in place. Yeah. How does a priest, well, maybe that you can... Like, the struggle of how does a priest or even the pastoral community tell us who can go to Mass? What are the options out there?
Yeah, so there's many options. I don't know what every parish is doing across our diocese, but the bishop and the diocesan team that's kind of been giving us protocols for reopening has left that part up to each individual community. So some parishes are doing first come, first serve. If you aren't there, like if you're there, they're only allowed so many people. Once that number is hit, they turn people away. Some communities are doing sort of a registration. They call into the parish, reserve your spot, go online, reserve your spot. Some people are doing an alphabetical sort of thing. One group comes one week, one group comes another week. So it's not going to be perfect.
No.
It's not going to please everyone, but...
And it's trial and error, right? I mean, it really, like, if you do the alphabet thing, A to L, maybe you only get 10 people coming out because maybe that's your parish community, right? Like, and then maybe the next week it'll be like, okay, well, we'll do L, M to Z, or Z, depending on what part of the state border you live on. But you go, then you say, okay, well, but all of a sudden half the church shows up. You know what I mean? You have to close the doors after a certain amount or something.
Right.
Those are all going to be trial and errors. And it reminds me of being on a pilgrimage. And the reason I say that is because when we take our youth on a pilgrimage, we found, if we explain what the purpose of a pilgrimage is there's going to be a little bit of trial and error. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some waiting. There's going to be some times of doing things that you don't want to do. But if you look at this, if you look at a pilgrimage that way and you offer up the suffering from a couple episodes ago, right? You offer up that little bit of suffering during that time towards the good, like say, Lord, just like help, you know, offer that suffering for good. You're able then to make that pilgrimage in a much, it makes the pilgrimage for everyone a lot more enjoyable, if that makes sense. And so if we look at the reopening of the churches as a bit of a pilgrimage, you don't actually have to go anywhere because you're just going to the church. But if you look at that as a pilgrimage, meaning there's going to be things that people don't like, people don't want, things that aren't happening the way that people want them. You can always bring up your concerns, I'm sure, to the priest or to the pastoral council, and they might have an explanation to you. But they're also, like, their hands are tied, right?
Yeah. And a pilgrimage, I think, is a good image because for a lot of people, they don't necessarily see the end game, or they don't see, like, that this isn't what, you know, church is going to look like post-COVID indefinitely. This is a step along the way. This is an interim solution that allows us to have access to the Mass, our Sunday obligation, but isn't, you know, isn't the be-all, end-all. Once we get into another phase where we can start loosening more, you know, restrictions, then we'll get back to normal. This isn't the new normal.
Yeah. So right. Let's talk about it. What is the diocese requiring of us now when we reopen this coming weekend? So number one, we've already mentioned 30% capacity. Okay. So whatever the fire code, whatever the fire restrictions are in your own parish community, 30% of that is only allowed. That's a number given by the Ontario government right now. Okay. Churches are, by the diocese, has instructed these following things. Churches are only allowed to open 30 minutes before the time of Mass. So that is to...
Limit the exposure.
The exposure. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. You mentioned this already. Yeah. It's going to be unpopular with some, you know, open for scrutiny, but the diocese has mandated everyone must wear a mask.
Yeah.
And this is the diocese document. Everyone must wear a mask. People not wearing masks will not be allowed to enter the church.
So there you go.
Yeah. So
that's a big one.
That's a big one.
Especially if you have kids.
Yeah. So, kids. And then not only that, but some people just don't like wearing masks or can't wear masks. Maybe there's some skin conditions or something like that.
Or asthma. Yeah.
Feeling confined of some sort, like claustrophobic or something.
That's right. Obviously, if someone does not feel well, they should not be coming to Mass, okay, under any circumstances, not feeling well. 6 feet distance between people must be maintained. Obviously, families who are part of that same household or bubble can bubble. Sit beside each other. No holy water, no children's liturgy is allowed. Washrooms are only to be used for emergencies only.
So they're pretty much off limits.
They will be open, of course. And then, here's one. It is not necessary to receive Holy Communion during Mass. And if one feels uncomfortable doing so, one can legitimately remain in your seat. Communion, to receive Communion, people are being asked to receive it in the hand only.
Yeah.
That's another thing we're open for scrutiny on, because some people receive communion on the tongue, respectfully, reverently, and legitimately. That's an acceptable way of receiving the Eucharist. Now they're being told they can't do that. So, but I think that's true. When you come to Mass, it's not necessary, it's not required for you to receive the Holy Communion. So if you feel uncomfortable even getting close to the priest who will distribute the Eucharist to you, or because you can't receive it on the tongue, or for any other reason.
You just don't have to.
You just don't have to. But still being in the presence of that sacrifice, that community where the Mass is.
And we mentioned it on an earlier episode, but it's noteworthy that your Sunday obligation is not to receive the Eucharist every Sunday, it's to attend Mass, insofar as you can, based on the restrictions in your diocese given by your bishop.
What is the, to receive communion, is it a year? Or is it, you have to receive communion once a year? That's what the saying is, I mean, the saying, that's what the rule is.
Yeah, the minimum requirement, is to receive the Eucharist once a year, and it says, and it should be done in the Easter season.
Yeah, okay.
So our Easter season this year in 2020 was a write-off, right? None of us.
Could
receive the Eucharist during the Easter season.
Still now, the bishop hasn't lifted that restriction of going to Mass.
Right, and that's very important to say, that the obligation to attend Mass on Sunday still is lifted.
Yeah.
Right? You're not obliged to be at Sunday Mass like you are during, outside of a pandemic time, let's say.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So that is still remaining. You're not obliged to be at Sunday Mass.
And so they can still watch Mass at home if they feel more comfortable there, or if they feel sick, or if they don't want to expose themselves to a community-type event.
For sure. So. And that's worth mentioning, too. Most parishes, I believe, I know the Sunday Mass that we're filming here will continue because of the limited capacity allowed in the churches. So that's what the diocese is mandating for us. The government also has restrictions for churches as well. It's not going to be like always coming to church.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how people can look past those things and still have the celebration of Mass be something that's really special for them, especially since we haven't had it for 3 months.
Yeah, I think the fact that it is not going to be like always is going to force a lot of people to see Mass, from a different perspective, through new eyes, and maybe evaluate some of their own expectations for what Mass should be. When I first read these, I was obviously concerned about kind of the logistical, like if you're spending, 80% of your mental resources during Mass on the logistics of how far am I away from everyone? What have my kids touched? It's very difficult to participate in Mass. But I think one of the other things that, placing certain restrictions on the liturgy, procession, music, community. A lot of people go to Mass for the community to catch up with people kind of directly. And it almost reminded me of back in kind of my Protestant days when you'd kind of church hop, or it was because you weren't kind of within a parish, or you weren't necessarily committed to a specific community, that it's consumer Christian. I'm fed by music, so I go to the church with the best music.
Yeah.
I'm fed by community. I go to the church where I have and it's kind of like a buffet of what I need to be kind of spiritually fed. So becoming Catholic, there's getting to the point where I realized that the center of the Christian life is the Eucharist, is and just kind of everything else kind of feeds into that, that the music in Mass is secondary, the community in Mass is secondary, and all of these things, and communities run into problems when they try to treat things that aren't central as central.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people, demanding these things or having real issues with the absence of these things, it can really call into question our expectations of what we're there for.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you. And the way I look at it right now is attending Mass during this time is a privilege.
It's like an extra treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's always a privilege, right?
Yeah.
There are some places in the world that just don't have the celebration of Mass.
Even just regularly. A couple hours north of us here. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly. Northern Ontario, yeah. For sure. Like yeah. way north, no yeah. more north than us. That absolutely. Now it feels like more of a privilege because yeah. even some place in the world right now,
still not.
Churches are still closed.
Ontario is the biggest one, isn't that? Like 30%.
Is the largest capacity allowed in Canada
a mass.
Right now.
Yeah, yeah.
30%.
The other dioceses aren't allowing that.
Right. So it's a privilege. And I think you're right. Seeing the celebration of Mass with new eyes, seeing what's important, I think that would be a really cool experience of Mass.
Yeah.
You know? Sure. Now, there's like you said, there certainly are things to distract us, right? Yeah. There's pews taped off and yeah. X's on the ground and everyone's wearing masks, you know. Yeah. So there are certainly things we can get caught up on and distracted by. But I think it's a really good opportunity to focus on, let's listen to the word being proclaimed.
That's right.
Let's participate in the Mass, in the consecration.
Think about the words you're saying, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like the fact that we're all wearing masks, mostly because I do music. And so that way we can... say, you know, like no one's going to be able to tell who is singing or not. So we should hear a lot more singing going on, right? Is because you're all covered up there. You can't really see. I think that would be good. I'm expecting, even though there's less people, it's going to be louder when it comes to singing.
You think so, Ed?
I'm open. Always hope for the best.
And all these restrictions and all these things that we're talking about, I don't want to make it seem like I think there's still a real joy. Like I'm excited. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
For churches to open. Yeah. And I don't want, this is just the reality of our situation that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
But the joy is still there. Like the excitement should be there if we're turning to your community, celebrating Mass. Sure, it's not going to look the same, but being welcomed back and being participating in the Eucharist again, 3 months, mm-hmm. almost exactly 3 months after Masses were canceled.
Yeah, this is right. An oasis in the desert. This isn't like, so it's not a continuation of the desert. The churches are opening and it's not kind of the end game. Like this isn't the fullness of what we're capable of kind of liturgically or as a community, but it's something in the meantime. And I think, that's something to be appreciative of.
For sure. And if the crowds, if people are having difficulty with the 30%, you can't get into your church on Sunday. There are weekday masses available with probably smaller crowds that you can, remember, the Sunday obligation is not in force. So you can go to Mass on Tuesday. You can go to Mass on Wednesday. You can go to Mass, during the week. What's something that you are looking forward to going back to Mass?
For me, I think I'm honestly is the music. Is to be able to sing together in the community. I got to be honest with you, since like I do music on a regular Sunday basis, like I play in the choir. I don't know if I've broken out my guitar since we went into COVID, because I normally play it at youth groups at like probably about 4 times a week. I play in front of people on my guitar, and because I haven't had to, I think is part of it, but also. There was no need. And so it's kind of been packed away until the next time I need to use it. I don't play at home very often. And so right now it's just to actually get out my guitar again, to be able to sing, to be able to play music. And I know that in some dioceses they're saying that they're not going to allow singing, right? Mm-hmm. Or that it's just the cantor or the choir or the musicians that are going to play and one person's going to sing and stuff like that. But still being able to hear the music and be able to enter in, like realizing that even if your heart wants to sing, but you're being told you're not allowed, that's a way of using that, turning that into a sacrifice, like turning that into something you can offer up. You can still enter into that moment as much as you like. For me, I don't know if I really wanted to sing and I was told not to. I know that would really bug me, you know. But being able to be there in community, and even I'll hum it under my mask. No one's going to be able to know, you know. Like, but just to be like, I think that's my part. I mean, as well as being able to receive the Eucharist. So like being able to actually celebrate the Mass, receive the Eucharist. But in the community as well.
So you haven't played guitar in a while. Maybe you should bust out the guitar and practice a bit before you get
back. I know, a couple of times. I've played the guitar now for 20 years and about 4 or 5 times a week. It's going to be one of those things, actually. I don't have calluses on my fingers right now. And that was one of those things. I mean, I did a lot of stuff during COVID, you know, after work and everything else. But nothing had to do with the calluses on my fingers. And so I was talking to somebody about it the other day. And when I was like, oh, you got calluses. And they're like, oh, well, I haven't played guitar in a while. I don't have calluses. And I was like, oh, and I looked at mine. I was like, oh, like I can actually feel my fingertips, you know, like that's different.
Matt, what's something you're looking forward to coming back to public mass.
Yeah. So the being a kind of liturgy nerd, or no, I like being in churches. I like the consecrated space. So, and obviously the Eucharist as kind of the center of that. Another thing that maybe I wouldn't have noted at the beginning of this, but and I'm not just sucking up here, but your homilies, the liturgy itself. So yeah, in this kind of interim period, we've been you have access to the missal. You can do the daily readings. I'm fairly good at just kind of self-sustaining my own kind of spiritual interests. I have like books and, but to have the perspective of the homily, to have someone else's, you know, voice other than the voice in my head to kind of measure my ideas against, to get a different perspective. I think that's going to be refreshing or nice to have that back.
Cool. I think this is going to be a great opportunity for people. If the people are going to make it what it's going to be what people make of it. Mm-hmm. And if people are coming into our churches upset at the changes, upset at the restrictions, upset at the little adaptations, it's not going to be a good experience for you.
No.
So we're asking people to come with an open heart, to be safe, to be cautious. We're doing everything we can to keep people safe. You need to play your part as well. Mm-hmm. And just let yourself enter into the liturgy again.
Yeah.
Let's remind ourselves why we're at Mass. We're at Mass to worship God, mm-hmm. and not to sit in my own favorite pew.
That's blocked off.
That's
now.
Blocked off. Yeah. That's taped off. Or, you know, we might not see everyone we want to see on the first couple weeks. We might not have donuts after Mass or coffee or things like that. But let's remind ourselves why we're there. We're there to worship, and it's going to be a beautiful experience if we're open to that beautiful experience.
For sure.
Jesus will be there. Yeah. Jesus is present.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. So let's take this opportunity and let's just make the best of a situation. We're blessed that we're allowed to reopen.
Yeah.
So let's make the best of it. Mm-hmm. We could be shut down for a while. I was reading in the newspaper, the local newspaper had an article about the Diocese of Sault Ste. Reopening their churches again. And in that article, it said that the Anglican churches in our same region are remaining closed until September, right? So it's a privilege that we're opening on the weekend of June 20 and 21, this coming weekend. So let's just let ourselves be filled with the Spirit, celebrate well together in the circumstances that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it, like, yeah, it's a good...
I'm excited.
It is exciting. Yeah. It really is exciting. It's exciting to see the faces. I mean, you see them sometimes. I saw people in grocery stores that that I wouldn't normally see except on Sunday Masses, you know, that odd bump in, and I see them, I'm like, oh! And then we really want to see each other. We really want to talk because we haven't seen each other in 3 months.
Yeah.
So the community and stuff, that's exciting part too. But also remembering the restrictions are in place. So you're not going to be able to stand at the back foyer, you know, 80 strong and just chat. Like, you're like maybe going out and talking by your cars if you're far enough distance apart and stuff. I don't think most places will be monitoring that as long as you're outside the building. Right? But like standing at the back and chatting. But it also may give you that opportunity to also enter into Mass ahead of time. Like you're going to sit, you're going to kneel, you're going to pray, enter in that, get your heart ready for Mass, experience Mass, and then come out and then leave in community, you know, which would be great.
And one more thing I think we should mention is the parish volunteers in every parish across the diocese, across the province, they're volunteers. They're doing the best they can.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be the first weekend we're open. There's going to be little glitches and things. Let's just get along and respect what the directives of the volunteers and things. And I think that will be a good celebration for everyone if we're just open to that. So see you guys this weekend.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. So for all the people who are listening to the podcast, if check with your local parish about the local directives of returning back to your own local parish, they might have restrictions on numbers, how you can reserve your spot for Mass, or how they're welcoming people back. So check your parish website, check your local parish instructions before you head to Mass. Okay, I hope those of you who are going to Mass this weekend, just go into it with an open heart, desire to be in the presence of God and receive the Eucharist again after such a long time. Those of you who can't are going to still stay home, tune into a Sunday Mass online. That's it. That's all the time we have for the Catholic Buzz this week. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or hate mail for Matt, you can email thecatholicbuzzpodcast@gmail.com. For Josh Sullivan and Matt Van Milligan, I'm Father Daniele. We'll see you next time on the Catholic Buzz.